broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson. This is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches up there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here with
Lucas Williams.
Now, Lucas, it's been a long week of Arabian Athletics. We're in the swing of our second Coaches Show. How's your day going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good myself. All right, getting straight into it, we're going to talk about softball because that's probably going to be the quickest thing we're going to talk about in today's Coaches Show. This week, they had two matches set up, and what happened, Lucas?
None of them happened.
Lots of rain. Of course, oh, we had can I call that like a torrential thunderstorm? When does a storm become torrential?
Torrential. I've never heard that
word. I'm a sports person, not a weather person.
Wow. A tornado happened. You know, we'll say that.
There's a lot of storms. Okay.
Yeah.
So they originally had a matchup versus Center Grove, that one on April 2nd. That one was not able to happen because that was the night of all the terrible storms and stuff. And then the next day, they were supposed to play Westfield, and we were even ready for that game. Me and Jeffrey Kirkendall, we were in the booth. So was everyone. Westfield got there, and then about 20 minutes later, they canceled the game. So for the girls, you know, they haven't started their season just yet, but they're really waiting for it. It's kind of hurting them a little bit that they can't start. I know Westfield, they were 2-1, and Pendleton Knights, they had a game pushed back. I know some teams start earlier than that. It's kind of just pushing back when they can find their identity of who they are as a team. That can hurt a team.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that, you know, first game of the season, of course, gets canceled. And it's kind of weird because, you know, something I was thinking about is the boys start just a little bit ahead of the girls, which isn't really usual. Like, if you're thinking about basketball, the girls start, you know, a few weeks ahead of the boys. So, you know, with them being their first game starting in April, second instead of, no, I was thinking maybe that the girls would start, you know, at the end of March instead of, you know, going all the way into April.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. You got to hope they start soon. Lucas, do you got their schedule pulled up? When is their next matchup, when it's supposed to be at least?
Yeah, so it looks like their matchup is, I believe, a Tuesday. It is April 8th against Shenandoah. Of course, that is going to be a home game at 5:30 p.m.
Okay, transitioning, we're going to talk about baseball. So for the guys, they were originally supposed to have two games this week. First one against Newcastle at home, second one away at Newcastle. That second one was rained out again, unfortunately, but they didn't be able to play the first game, and that one was quite the season opener. Lucas, me and you were both on that game. Let's talk about it.
Shoo, I mean, that was one of the craziest games I've ever broadcast. If you didn't know, the final score ended up being 24-0. Probably the biggest blowout I've ever seen from Arabian Sports.
It was impressive. It was Newcastle. They have struggled as a team. You know, last year they were 7-21 going into that one. You know, let's have a little bit of a rebuilding year, really. I know a lot of teams say reload. That's what we do here at Pendleton Heights. They were in a tough spot, and they have a few playmakers. They just couldn't get the bats going. Colton Frank was on the mound, and he had some heat to give Newcastle. And for a conference opponent, start your season, they couldn't have done it better, 24-0.
Yeah, and, you know, especially talking about Colton Frank, he was just having a game for himself. Pitching side of things, I mean, I remember that top of the first inning, it was 3-3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like that. In about, like, 5 minutes, that inning was over. And then they go into the bottom of the first. They ended up scoring, I believe, 7 runs. And it took about 30 to 40 minutes for that bottom of the inning to go by. I was thinking like, oh, you know, that top of the first thing, that went by quick. You know, maybe this game will be a quick one. No. For only going 5.5 innings, I looked at the broadcast replay. It was 2.5 hours that we were broadcasting.
Yeah, that was pretty, just what a way to start the season for Pendleton Heights. Totally unexpected. You know, we use Max Press for sites that it doesn't go back as far to find a game that with a higher score than that for Pendleton Heights baseball. It just completely impressive. Jackson Grile, 3 for 3, 5 RBIs and a triple. To start your season opener with 5 RBIs, I mean, this is a senior-dominated class for Pendleton Heights. They seem really ready for the season. They seem really prepped, and they started off with the right foot, and they looked to continue it against Newcastle, but of course that one got rained out. I mean, what an opener.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there's one year that you're going to want to listen to Arabian baseball, I feel like it has to be this year. I mean, this team is looking phenomenal. I mean, they have a very deep roster with a bunch of seniors on them. So, I mean, they have those older players, and, I mean, we've seen out of them that they can do some work.
Yeah, you win a game, of course, we broadcast it, Lucas. When a game gets that boring, that one-sided, lopsided, it is. We even called a game like that. It was incredible how long it was drawn out. That fourth inning, I believe Pendleton Heights scored 11 runs.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
11.
11. And then in that fifth inning for Pendleton Heights, or the end of the fourth, it looked like the coach just said, swing the bat. Like, just swing at every pitch. Let's go home tonight. Like, it's cold, it's wet, it's rainy. I want to go home. Not to say he did that. I don't want to put any disrespect on anybody, but it sure looked like that. It sure, like, Colin Axel Adams was one of the last outs in that game. It just looked like he was swinging at everything. Newcastle, they couldn't. It was either walks or a triple, a double. They could not get any strikes in there to get Pendleton Heights out swinging.
You know, I was thinking, hearing one of the players who's on the baseball team in my first period actually kind of confirming what you said, where, you know, kind of during that game, they were just like, all right, you know, it's season opener. Go out there and swing. Go out there and see what you can do out there.
Yeah, and what was good, too, is they got some youth as well as some seniors that don't get a ton of play time into play. I think of Warner Sims, he got some time to swing. Rylan Montgomery, the sophomore, he got some time in there. So even in those less, you know, tougher spots of the game, when it's so lopsided, you know, the coach was able to get some guys in there. I know he told me in the postgame interview, you know, his team showed some true leadership tonight, and they said they had players saying, you know, put this guy in for me. We're up big. He needs his spot. This is his senior season. And they did that. What a great opening night. They couldn't have asked for anything better. I think there's like 2, maybe 3 at-bats you could pin on and say, you know, this one was a mistake on the player. This one was that or that. Everything went picture perfect.
Yeah, I mean, 26 at-bats, 24 runs. That is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, you got to see that first game and pop up Pendleton Heights on your radar and say, this team is serious. I know, you know, they're beating up on a small team in Newcastle, but this team is serious. They mean business. They got a long season ahead of them. That's game one. You don't want to peek out at game one. They've set a high bar for themselves, and now they got to break it. Moving on, we're going to talk about track and field. Of course, they had one event this week in it. They had 3 top 3 finishers, the first one being Zach White in the 3,200-meter sprint. Had a time of 9:50.3, third place in the event. In third place was Gabe Martin for shot put. And then finally, in another third place position was Anya Zoella with the 3,200-meter women's sprint with a time of 11:00.61. Congratulations to the top 3 finishers. That was the only week for track and field. Of course, there hasn't been a lot of events. For boys golf, hasn't fully gotten to swing yet. For girls tennis, hasn't fully gotten to the swing yet. So we don't got a ton to talk about for those sports. But, I mean, green light so far for Pendleton Heights. I think the summary of the week is like, man, we need that weather to get better. That's the worst part about the spring season for sports here, is the weather just gets a little rough sometimes. It's Mother Nature, if you could clear it up for a little bit, we can get back into our sports. We can have a normal coaches show.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about basketball, you're never getting that canceled. I mean, there was, what, one game that got canceled because the weather was, you know, that bad. But other than that, I mean, you're indoors. You're not going to really go anywhere. And with football, I mean, we didn't get a game canceled except for that Mount Vernon game. I already know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
That Mount Vernon game was...
It didn't get canceled.
It should have gotten postponed to the next day.
Yeah, that one, it was like you were playing in a hurricane. That was rough. There was one football game that was postponed, and it was Anderson.
Yeah.
That was thunderstorms?
It was lightning.
Yeah,
There was no rain or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually broadcasting with Aiden, and... like, suddenly, the team just started leaving the field. And you're just like, okay. Mm-hmm. And you can't really just like, hey, what's going on because you're live, mm-hmm. you know? So you also got to be like, also, what do you talk about? You're just like, hey, both the teams are leaving.
Yeah, you got to update your listener. That's the only thing you can do. That's a tough situation. I think with Thunder and Lightning, as soon as they hear it, see it, no show, no game.
Then they're
it's just
done
a little too dangerous. But summary of the week, get better, please, Mother Nature. All right, stay tuned for the rest of the coaches show. Next up is Michael Hooker interviewing head coach of the baseball team, Coach Vosburgh. Detail his week in the big event that the Pendleton Heights boys baseball team had. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network's coaches show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for the 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone number 765-221-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
This 91.7 WEEM program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with the head coach of the varsity baseball team, Coach Vosburgh. Thank you so much for joining me.
Appreciate it.
All right, so getting things started here. Last week, obviously, we had a lot of bad weather, but you guys were able to get your season opener and your home opener in against Newcastle last week in dominating fashion, winning 24-0. What was kind of the feeling for the team winning in that fashion in their season opener?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to hit the ground running. You want to feel like you're prepared and feel like you've got a game plan for a team. And, you know, we kind of anticipated this year that, you know, our pitching and defense would be strong. And we felt like we would take a step forward offensively just from returning a lot of guys that had a lot of varsity experience last year. And so it was nice to see us have good approaches at the plate. I think that's probably there's two things I really identified out of that game that I was really proud of. And one being that we had good approaches against a particular style of pitching that we have struggled with in the past in terms of, you know, guys that are more heavy off speed, guys that are looking to command the outer half of the plate. In the past, we've probably tried to do too much with some of those pitches and, you know, tried to yank them, tried to, you know, pull them to the pull side gap. And for us to have good approaches all night long and take with the pit, hit the ball where the ball was being pitched, it was a good sign, and we just need to continue that. And then the other thing I was proud of was, you know, we put a 7 spot up in the first inning, and it's really easy sometimes for teams to get comfortable with a lead like that. And for us to come back every inning after that offensively and continue to tack on runs was a good sign for us in terms of our competitiveness, not willing to settle into a game, always taking, you know, hey, it's a tie ball game every new inning. It's a new ball game, and go out and win each inning. And I, you know, I'm not a mathematician or a, you know, sports psychologist or anything, but like if you win every game or every inning, you're probably going to win most games. So yeah. It was nice to have that competitive spirit and nice to see our pitchers go out. Colton threw a great game that day and was over 70% strikes. And we knew against a team like that we feel like our fastballs would kind of drive that game. So we limited off speed from him and just, you know, focused on throwing the fastball. That won't be the case with every team. You know, we're gonna have to command other pitches in most games. But we knew with that opponent on that night that our fastball was working for Colton, and we kind of went to that. We kind of went to the well with that. So it was just a good opening win. We also know that games are going to be more competitive as we get through the rest of the season. And we've got to have that mindset that we're going to go out and take care of business.
Yeah, and another thing, that senior class, it was kind of just a show of how talented this team is. One of them in particular, though, Jackson Grile, had a great game for himself. Just breaking down his stats from that game, he had a batting average of perfect from the game. I know that led the team in hits, led the team in RBIs as well. So what did you really see out of the seniors, mainly Jackson Grile, in that last matchup?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, Jackson last year, got his first taste of varsity action. In fact, in the very same Newcastle game last year, probably had his worst game of the year. If you look back at his 2024 game against Newcastle and overtime, and we know Jackson's a great hitter, and we know over time he was going to settle in. But there is always a learning curve, and there is always a kind of get your feet wet type of a process for guys coming into the varsity action for the first time. And so, you know, he's one of those hitters that, you know, you take away the first couple of games last year and he's probably an all conference hitter. And so we're hoping, you know, that we have him in the four spot for a reason. You know, he's a guy that can handle the bat. He enters the zone with the swing at the backside of the plate and really finishes forward. So there's a lot of room for error for him. You know, if he's off time a little bit on pitches, he can still keep that bat in the zone and make something happen. And he's just a good barrel guy. You know, he finds barrel more often than he doesn't, hits the ball hard. He doesn't do anything super special at the plate. He just goes up and hits. And sometimes, you know, we get kind of, there's kind of like a paralysis by analysis for hitters. You know, they think so much and are trying to be so technical with their swing. Jackson is not that guy. Jackson is all about timing. If his timing's on, then he's going to barrel baseballs just with the way that his swing works naturally. So I also thought that another big component for our success on that night, and another senior, was Ty Frakes. You know, the first at bat of the year, takes that count, you know, 8-9 pitches deep for the pitcher, and ends up earning a walk, fouled off a number of pitches. So to start the year off, you know, a leadoff guy, a 4-year varsity player who's had a ton of varsity experience, nothing really overwhelms him, you know, starting off the year with that kind of tone, and earning that walk, and then coming out the very next at bat and jumping on a first pitch pass ball to, you know, smoke a ball to left field. You know, those types of at bats really showcase a maturity level for our hitters that because we have such a senior heavy class and a senior heavy team right now, we're hoping to rely on that experience and that maturity. You know, there's a couple games last year where, like I mentioned, we were trying just to do too much. Right after Ty earns that walk, Mazin takes a pitch and goes the other way, another senior for us, and drives a ball over the second baseman's head. And now we have first and third and with our first two hitters of the year. You know, guys that are just doing things the right way. A couple ground balls the other way scored runs for us. You know, just execution at the plate was really, really solid all up and down the lineup. But, of course, with our seniors just being so experienced.
Yeah, and then you know, to go with that experience, you guys also have the youth. Colin Axel Adams saw some action as well. And then Rylan Montgomery and Brant Gray, a couple more sophomores in there as well. Getting some varsity action this early in their career, how does that really build for the future of this program once this big senior class leaves?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to replace ultimately down the road. And obviously, we don't want to think too far ahead. But, you know, when you're, you know, running a program, you kind of have to anticipate what your teams might look like in the future and then what kind of experience you want to give some of your younger guys, you know, what key pieces you may need past this year. You know, there's a couple of guys in our program, a couple of positions that are pretty difficult to break through. You know, when you've got guys like Ty Frakes and Jordan Williamson up the middle, you know, guys that are, you know, 350, 400 plus hitters that are really solid defensively, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity for middle guys to get that early varsity experience. So middle infield is going to be tough for some of our younger guys to get up there. The outfield, however, was a little bit more open. And so you see guys like Brant Gray and Colin Axel Adams. Colin, obviously, a returner. Brant got a little varsity experience last year. Just incredibly athletic guys that can do a number of different things. The quickest path to varsity baseball in our program is to be versatile. So a guy like, you know, Brant Gray, who pitches, can hit, can play the outfield. Colin Axel Adams can pitch, can run the bases, can play the outfield. And then that's kind of what we saw with Rylan Montgomery this year as well, a guy that can handle himself at the plate, but is also versatile enough to go play an infield position if you need to, play the outfield if you need him to, and then also pitch if you need him to. You know, and guys like that bring a lot of value early in their high school career. You know, if you're a one position guy or you're one dimensional in any way, you kind of have to wait your turn. You know, if you're behind a guy that is pretty cemented, and I wouldn't say cemented like any position, just a guarantee, but guys that are going out and performing on a regular basis for a number of years at the varsity level, trying to break through that, you have to be really, you know, something special. You have to earn every position, but, you know, right now we've got a bunch of guys that are capable of handling themselves that are in those varsity positions. And so, you know, the outfield was an opportunity for guys like Colin and Brant to make their debuts earlier than maybe, you know, some other guys in that same age range. But also they're incredibly talented. And so they're going out and performing at a high level and doing a lot of different things for us. And that's really the quickest way, like I said, to get to that varsity role.
Yeah. And then finally, you guys have a lot on your schedule this week. You guys have four games, your second one against Newcastle. That is a makeup from last week. Then your two conference games against Yorktown on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then finally, you guys have HSC on Saturday, a very tough opponent to finish out your week. What's kind of the game plan going into this? Obviously, you don't want to get too high hopes for Newcastle after beating them 24-0, but then you have to have a really quick turnaround the next couple days. And you get a break before HSC. What's kind of the message?
Well, the message is just to go out and win every game. You know, we want to win every week. We want to, so we've got four games this week. The goal is obviously to win all of them, but at least at the very minimum, we want to win 3 out of 4. You know, if you're winning 3 out of 4, then you're going to go 20-10 on the year. And that's a pretty solid high school season. Now, obviously our goals are to win every game and to go 30-0, but we also have to understand that baseball is, you know, the Dodgers have the greatest team ever assembled pretty much this year, and they've already, you know, they've lost, you know, like baseball is a sport that's just going to, at some days it's going to humble you. Some things are going to work. Some things are not going to work. And so we're just going to rely on our experience and our talent and our ability and our mindset to go out and just say, hey, we're going to compete every inning. We want to win every inning. And if we can do that, then the season will take care of itself. It'll transpire the way it's supposed to. The thing for this week is, you know, we obviously only played one game last week. We had eight games scheduled throughout the program. If you talk about varsity, JV Green, JV White, and we were able to play one, you know, so pitching is not an issue this week. We've got plenty of guys. Everyone is available. So we've got, our rotation kind of lined up the way that we want for this week. Different matchups that we feel like are going to be good for us. Obviously we want to sweep this conference, start to the beginning of the week, and then we can kind of go all hands on deck to go take it to HSC on Saturday. But as long as we just execute offensively the way that we did last Tuesday, if we go out and throw strikes, we feel like our stuff, the guys that we have, we will be able to handle business. So it'll all come down to our pitching. You know, we expect we've got Brant Gray on tap for tonight with Newcastle. As long as he's able to stay in the zone, we feel like offensively we'll be able to handle ourselves. And then, you know, Yorktown, kind of somewhat surprising, beat Delta last week, took down Delta's ace, Zane Klein, who's going to be just a really good pitcher this year, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. He's going to be going to Taylor next year to pitch, but they beat him, you know, and Delta was one of those teams where you kind of like, they're going to be pretty good this year. You didn't really know what you were going to see with Yorktown. They lost a lot of guys. So, you know, we can't take any opponent lightly. We're confident, but there's a bridge between being confident and cocky. And so we want to be on that confidence side and just go let our ability just to take over to a game, just let that drive the force, you know, let that drive the game and how we handle our business. But we don't want to get to that point where we're not respecting the game or being overly cocky. We want to respect every opponent and go out and handle our business. And if we can do that, I think we're going to be okay. So it's about mindset, and it's about just execution, both offensively, defensively, on the mound.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Coach Fosberg. That is unfortunately all the time we have. But good luck this week and the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, the rest of the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at cowanchiropractic.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Only at the DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. 91.7 WEEM, we welcome you back to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Lucas Williams, and joining me is Coach Davis of the girls softball team. How are we doing today?
We're doing pretty good. Wanting to quit raining so we can play some ball.
Absolutely. And getting straight into it, you're supposed to play your first game, of course, against Center Grove on the 2nd of April. But of course, that game got rained out. So how have you been working around that and kind of keeping your team prepared?
Well, we're just, you know, I mean, we're being creative, trying to come up with new ideas, coming up with new drills, keep them all entertained. They're still working hard. They're excited to get out on the field. You know, we're just hoping for sunshine so we can get there.
So what do you think is your team's strongest area? Like, you know, hitting, pitching, you know, general athleticism, et cetera.
Well, I think we're going to be very athletic. You know, with our seniors, our junior class, I think we're very athletic. I think we'll be able to put the ball in play. So home runs, you know, I think they'll come in between at-bats. But I think for the most part, you know, we're going to have to manufacture runs, be aggressive on the base pass, execute, bunt, and put pressure on the defense. If we do that, it's way too early to tell. We haven't even got outside. It's even hard to even scrimmage against one another. But, you know, what we're doing in practice and what we're seeing, you know, we're going to be able to bunt. We're going to be execute. We're going to be able to steal some bases. So, you know, if we get on base, then we'll see what we can make the defense do.
Now, of course, it's hard seeing those last year seniors go away, but how have you kind of filled in those roles that needed being filled?
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, too early to tell, you know. You know, the last 2 years we've had 7 and 8 seniors, so that's 15 girls that graduated that really bought into our program. So, you know, we got younger kids in there. You know, I talk to them every day about, you know, how, you know, we're going to be as good as how fast these younger underclassmen grow up. You know, there's seven juniors, which is a strong class. They got a little bit of experience last year, but not a lot. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so it looks like you only have 2 seniors on your team right now. Are there any of those younger players that you're kind of looking towards right now?
Well, yeah, we're looking at all of them. You know, we're needing one out there. You know, we're needing them all to step up, you know, with only 2 seniors and Ari really being the only player that in the senior that had played entire season. You know, so we're looking for them younger kids to come up and to grow up real fast and compete, you know. And that's what we want to do at the beginning of the season. We want to be able to compete. You know, it's not about win and loss. It's about how well we're competing and limit the mistakes that we make.
So it looks like your official first game of the season is tomorrow against Shenandoah. So something a little bit interesting about that team is that they had no graduating seniors this season. So how's that going to kind of play a role in this matchup that you're going against, you know, some younger players?
Well, you know, I mean, they got experience, varsity experience. We don't have varsity experience. You know, weather's probably going to be a factor again tomorrow, you know, with the highs about 50 or in the mid 40s. So it's going to be chilly. So it's just going to be, you know, one of those games that we're going to, you know, we want to get out, get the jitters out and try to stay warm and not make mistakes, not beat ourselves and compete.
So looking towards the rest of the week, you play against the conference rival Delta, but then, you know, following that on Saturday, looks like you're going to be immediately thrown into the Horseshoe Classic tournament. So how do you kind of keep this team under control with that amount of pressure that they're going to be going up against?
Well, we just got to keep the nerves down, you know, the excitement. You know, they're going to be excited. They know that, you know, those teams that are coming, you know, I think like Central's ranked number 2 and Center Grove's up there in the top 5 and Jennings County, I believe, is 3-1 right at the moment. So they know, and Franklin Central, I think, has got a real nice program, ball club this year. So you know, keeping the nerves down. I mean, you know, all these girls, they've played softball all their lives and played, you know, numerous games. But, you know, them realizing, you know, what we're trying to accomplish and not being too big in the moment, you know, is kind of where we're at, you know, just relax, just play ball and see what happens.
Yeah, and for the last question of the day, are there any kind of goals in mind for this season, whether, you know, it's something big or small?
Well, the goals never change, you know. Our goals has been, you know, to win the first game win the Horseshoe Classic, and then the Madison County Tournament, and then the conference, and then advance in the tournament, you know. So the goals never change, you know, they're just – the goals that we set and the girls understand them and you know, that's what we're going to strive for.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining me and good luck against Shenandoah.
All right. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with another segment. You're listening to the Coaches Show on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online talk to FEG@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by SMB Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road, 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM. Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with a senior on the track team. You want to say your name for me?
Name's Gabe Martin.
All right, Gabe, I know this is going into your senior season, a big deal here at Pendleton Heights for the seniors, and as a thrower for Pendleton, this is what, your third year in track field?
Fourth year. Track, yeah.
Fourth year. Can you just walk me through how you got into the throwing part of track and field?
Well, I kind of, to be 100% honest, I was doing football. I decided to do football that spring, and I kind of just wanted to stay in shape, and track seems like the easiest option, to be honest. There's not a lot of running. You know, it's just using your strength to just hoping to get better at football by doing that.
Yeah, and then obviously this year there have been a couple of new faces added to the team this year, you know, especially football. Some of those football players have decided to run track this year and just other kids wanting to do something in the spring. So how do you really think those new faces coming in helps the track team to compete with some of these bigger teams in the state?
Well, football players are all pretty fast, so usually they're the fastest ones on the team if they decide to run track. You know, like Keenan Jones, Talon Foster, those are both really good football players, and they're going to be really good track athletes. Usually the throwers are not usually football players. They're just kind of people that want to do a sport. They need the athletic credit. Throwing is usually the way to go.
All right. So obviously you mentioned you played football as well. So how do the two correlate with each other? I know you obviously have to use your lower body in both, but how do they really correlate more?
Well, in track, it's a lot more form than strength, but the thing that really correlates is going to be the agility. So you have a lot of hip movement and arm and leg like correlation. You have to be able to use your legs, move your hips. It's definitely really a lot more athletic than people think. And as a lineman, you know, I have to use my legs and hips a lot to move people and things. So I feel like they are pretty close to each other. It definitely helped me in football. Be doing track.
All right. And what's the relationship like with your teammates and on meet days? Like, what does that really look like as like a whole, as the team, even in practice? What's the relationships?
Well, you know, there's only one person thrown at a time, and there's six or seven of us at practice. So it's usually pretty slow. It's a really chill practice. Everyone just kind of jokes around. At meets, there's only two varsity throwers, boys and girls, so four kids. And we're all usually pretty locked in. But we make jokes with each other after we're done throwing, because when we get done throwing, we can't go home. So we're just chilling out the meet for 4 or 5 hours after we're done. Pretty fun.
And how long is a usual meet, and what does a usual meet day look like? Not just for you, but for the entire team. Like, how does that go down?
Well, you know, if the meet starts at 5, then they usually start the field events 45, 30 minutes early, because a lot of field event people like long jump and high jump, those are also runners. So they want to get those out of the way so that the runners can do all their events. So usually I'm the first one on the team to get done with my event. And for the warm-ups I do, you know, I usually go through the routine of, you know, if we're spinning, then I go through each step of the spin individually. But personally, I'm not the kind of guy to do a lot of practice reps before I throw, because I want to have all my energy for my actual meat throws, but some other people, yeah, like competitors or the people on my team, will do a lot more warm-up throws. And then when we're done, we just kind of go sit at the team camp or cheer on our teammates the rest of the night.
All right. And who would you say has been your biggest mentor and has gotten you to this point throughout your high school career as a thrower, and not just a thrower, but also a football player?
Well, for throwing, it'd definitely be Coach Harvey, John Harvey. He's my throwing coach, and his son, Andrew Harvey, holds the school records for the team on shot put and discus. So I know he knows what he's doing because he coached his son. And so he's been a big influence. He decided to come out, even though his son's not throwing this year. He's graduated. So I respect that a lot. And he's been a really great mentor. You know, Coach Richmond's always been behind me with throwing. So, you know, he's always asking how I'm doing. So he understands that it's important to be a multi-sport athlete in high school. You need to have a bigger personality than just football.
All right. And, you know, being a senior and being considered a leader of the track team this year, what kind of role have you really stepped into this year as the senior leader?
Well, you know, Jake Burns is going to be the team captain, but he's injured a lot. So usually I'm kind of taking place of the team captain at meets. I'll be one of the captains this year. So at the meets, usually I'm just trying to get everyone to do the warm-ups before I head over to the shot put or discus ring to warm up myself. So usually, I'm usually just a general leader. I can't help out with people on their individual events. But, you know, the throwing people, sometimes Coach Harvey has to work or do things, which is understandable. And I sometimes had to step in and coach up my throwing teammates.
All right. And then what are some of the goals that you set this year for not just yourself, but also for the team?
Well, you know, personally, I don't really have a lot of goals for the team. You know, everyone just kind of does their best, and it's a byproduct to actually win meets or, you know, win tournaments or something like that. We're looking for county this year, and I think we're going to get it. We're a lot better than we were last year as a team. Personally, you know, my goals are mainly with shot put. That's what I consider myself better at. You know, I wanted to throw over 50 feet, which I think is pretty good. And I also wanted to break the indoor record, which I was really close to, but I didn't quite get. So now I'm looking at the outdoor record, which is a little bit harder, but I might be able to achieve it. And I think Coach Harvey thinks I can as well.
All right. And obviously, I believe you guys did have an indoor meet at, was it Indiana Westland?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like? What was it like for the team to get a meet under their feet and get that experience for the first time?
That wasn't actually our first meet. The first meet we had was at Anderson, which was a lot more poorly organized. There were a lot more teams, and it was kind of just that's kind of just a practice meet. You know, everyone wants to, it's their first meet, so no one's going to have a good time, but like good, you know, they're not going to enjoy themselves or they're not going to run good times or good PRs or anything. So that's just kind of to practice, you know, getting to your events and knowing when to do your events, what events to do, which events you want to do or going to have fun doing. So then Westland was the first real meet. It was the state qualifier. And so if you qualify with a time, if you're top like 26 in the state, then you're going to make it to the state tournament. I threw a lot better than I was supposed to that meet. So I'm still waiting to hear back if I made it to state, and state is going to be this Saturday.
All right. So you guys have state early in the year then?
Well, there's an indoor state and an outdoor state, because everyone runs different times, indoor or outdoor. They're different environments.
Well, yeah, because of wind resistance, stuff like that. Okay, that makes more sense. So indoor state's like early in the year.
Indoor state's, yeah, this Saturday.
All right. Do you know, like, when does that come out?
I don't know. I got to talk to my coach today. It might have come out last night. It might come out tonight. But there's a chance I don't make it. I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Well, it's a big deal if you make it your senior year.
Yeah,
it's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. And this kind of goes into my, you know, next question of like your favorite memories throughout the years. Would that be on that list of like a favorite memory that you've had here at Pendleton Heights in your throwing career?
I like to see how I've improved over the years. You know, I throw over 50 feet now, and when I was a little freshman, I barely threw over 30. So I'm really, really excited to see all the improvement I made. And state is just kind of a byproduct of that, you know, just kind of a reward for my improvement.
Yeah. And then last question here, who are you really looking to as like kind of your successor after you graduate after this year?
You know, I'm not really, I'm trying to find, you know, someone to kind of take over, you know. There's Shay's been really good. She's, as far as the girl, she's been really good. She knows what she's doing. You know, this Coach Harvey's last year is going to be next year. So after that year, they're going to be coachless, and Shay's going to have been graduated. And, you know, we get new faces every year. Shay and me have been really the only ones that have kind of stuck with it. You know, faces come and go on the throwing team. So I honestly have no idea. Shay's going to be a good leader next year, but after that, I'm not sure.
So kind of tough after you and Shay leave.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our interview, Gabe. Thank you so much for joining me, and good luck this season. Problem. We're going to take a short break. When we return, the rest of the coaches show here on 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Lucas Williams.
Now, Lucas, we've had a pretty great coaches show. We're here to close it out for you, so stay tuned. We're not done quite yet. So let's talk about the upcoming games for these seasons for Pendleton Heights, starting with the baseball team. They will play 4-8 at Yorktown. So on the 8th, they will play at Yorktown. The 9th, they will play at home versus Yorktown, of course, a conference opponent. So we'll play them twice, one there, one here. That one on the 9th will be broadcasted at here at Pendleton Heights. So if you want to tune in for the 9th versus Yorktown conference game, yet again, 6 p.m. is the first pitch, 5:55 is the pregame show. It's going to be a tough game, of course. Before that, they will have 5 games under their belt by that point, assuming the weather is normal. You know, we record this as close as we can to the date, and it's Friday right now. We don't have a choice. We can't really record it on Monday for WEEM reasons, but they have a tough stretch of their schedule in front of them. Of course, they've opened up their season well. Now they got to carry it through.
Yeah, so, I mean, opening up with such a dominant win, but, I mean, I really feel like this boys baseball team has, you know, that capabilities to make it far this year. You know, we talked a little bit on something, I don't remember if it was Inside the Playbook or the coaches show, that, you know, this football team, they made it to all the way to the sectional championship, and they had a bunch of seniors on their team, and, I mean, they were able to get that far, and, I mean, they haven't made it that far in so long, so I feel like this baseball team can kind of replicate that same thing.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of that this week. Of course, Colton Frank, the starting quarterback for Pendleton Heights, we're talking a lot about football for a spring coaches show, but the starting quarterback for Pendleton Heights pitched in that Newcastle game that they had this week, and he pitched a really good game. I think he had 6 strikeouts. And we saw Gavin Neal come in on the pitching side for Newcastle, their starting quarterback. So seeing some dual sport athletes come into play here. But, I mean, for Pendleton Heights, this is your senior year. I look at, like, softball last year. We're known for our softball team here at Pendleton Heights. And, you know, it always saw it on their roster. Of course, we call the games. We have the roster in front of us. Last year, they seemed like they had a not as deep as a roster of like pitching wise as you would have thought. And, you know, as an entry level person like myself was at the time, I could see how that could quickly become a problem for your team. You know, if you get behind on your pitchers, you overwork some pitchers, they're going to need time to recover and you got no one to play in the game. Pendleton Heights, the boys team, they have such a deep pitching roster. They've got, I believe, 9 senior starters, I believe, maybe 8. It is going to be a great season for them, and you got to be excited.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching side of things is looking just absolutely solid for Pendleton. I mean, the star quarterback is also the pitcher, but, I mean, something with this baseball team is that they're very athletic. You know, it's not just baseball players that you're talking about. These are multi-sport athletes that have trained their body in, you know, different areas.
Yeah, so next we're going to transition, talk about girls softball. Of course, the girls team had a tough stretch to open up their season just due to the weather. Haven't played any games yet as of this coach's show right now, but coming up, they've got multiple games. Lucas, what are those?
Yeah, so on the 8th, which is a Tuesday, they're playing against Sanardoa, a home game at 5:30 p.m., and then following it up with an away game at Delta the following day at 6 p.m., and then on Saturday, you have the Horseshoe Classic.
Horseshoe Classic is good news for Pendleton Heights. It's a great tournament. You know, I was in the booth the other day, and it's the first time I've ever seen the Horseshoe Classic trophy. Have you seen it, Lucas?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, well, next time I'm in there with you, I got to show you. It's a nice trophy. It would hurt for it to say Horseshoe Classic on it and Lake Central to take it home again. Of course, they won last year in a pretty tough manner. Usually, it's a fun day for the studio. You know, we broadcast all three games, assuming Pendleton Heights makes it all the way to the championship round. They've got a good team this year. They know it. They just haven't had a chance to prove it because of the weather. You got to be excited for the Horseshoe Classic.
Yeah, the one thing I do got to say is they have lost a good amount of seniors from last year that were pretty star hitters. You know, one of the things, got to mention, one of their best hitters, Caitlin Goodwin, who I think racked up 8 home runs under her belt for the season. I mean, she has now graduated. Then you got some other players like Skylar Baldwin, Shelby Messer, and, I mean, the list just goes on and on of players that they've kind of missed. But, I mean, they've also filled in that role with the juniors now and also some sophomores.
Yeah, they've got a lot of juniors on their roster. You know, I wrote out the pregame and did all our opening stuff for their opening game of the season versus Westfield. And the bad thing about being a broadcaster is that all goes to waste. I can't really use that anymore against Westfield. Assuming that one gets postponed, rescheduled, we don't really know that at the exact moment. So stay tuned to the Athletic page if you want to keep an update on that Westfield game. But I have all that opening information. I had a lot about the seniors that left. Of course, Caitlin Goodwin, she had 25 home runs in her career at Pendleton Heights. That's your 3-year starting catcher. That's a big hole to miss. You know, this is the time for Pendleton Heights to figure out who's going to be the next girl to take that spot. They want deep, long starters. They want a third-year catcher. That is to have the most experienced player at a position is the ultimate goal for Pendleton Heights, and they've got a lot of juniors on their roster. I asked Coach Davis, like, hey, you focused on this season? You know, you got a lot of juniors, and of course his answer, he's a coach. You know, we're focused on this year. We want to win now. But looking a little ahead of the future, they're setting themselves up well for next year. Of course, they have so many juniors that will be seniors. You got a deep senior class then, and now you got a deep junior class, and a lot of them have experience. I think of Avery Miller and Grace Fisher in that third and second base spot. You know, they have a lot of time in their position now in their sophomore year. But if they can continue that going on, they're going to have a great year this year and have a better chance for one next year.
Yeah, I mean, the softball team doing pretty much what the baseball team did. I mean, they had a bunch of juniors last year who are now seniors, and it seems like kind of getting to that, you know, great role of, you know, transitioning of every single year of, you know, those keeping those young players, making sure that they become the seniors that, you know, now are, that they're going to eventually go on. You know, you just got to keep on going up and up.
Yeah, well, that's going to about wrap it up. Stay tuned, of course. Like you mentioned, Lucas, we won't talk to you guys, the listeners, before the next Horseshoe Classic. That's a once-yearly event. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll broadcast them all live here on the station, 91.7 WEEM. Stay tuned to our website. You go to 91.7WEEM.com, or excuse me, .org. And you can figure out all the games we're going to broadcast, the time we're going to broadcast them. First pitch, say it's 6 o'clock. We're going to broadcast it starting our pregame show at 5:55. We always go on 5 minutes before the first pitch. So that'll about do it for today's Coach's Show. Thanks for joining me, Lucas.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coach's Show, courtesy of 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.